As we dig into the Word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Bible. Thank You that it is Your Word. Thank You that it holds authority over us. And we thank You that You've caused us to love the Bible. Lord, how we love the Bible. How we love the truth. And how important it is to us this morning as we consider this great event of the resurrection of our Savior. Now we pray that the Holy Spirit will visit each one of us here this morning and implant the truth of this word into our very being. Grant it to be so because we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now let's just read the passage as Paul is giving his testimony to these people, writing in Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs or false teachers. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the Jews who require circumcision. For we are the true circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in self. Though I also might have confidence in this flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have more confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. But indeed I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, or trash, or manure, that I may gain Christ. And be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul is giving a personal testimony, stating his top priority in life, his great passion, and his chief desire. And we have used the words this morning about life worth living. And if Paul were standing here, we'd say to him this morning, Paul, why is life worth living to you? What is the most important thing in your life? What is your top priority? And he would say, verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Now we need to review the word know. K-N-O-W. The biblical use of the word is far more than just information. We know about Jesus born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth, crucified in Jerusalem, and so on. That's information. The word know goes far deeper than that and is associated with love. It's knowing intimately. In Genesis, we have the term, Adam knew his wife. She conceived So there is that relationship that is close and intimate and actually means having communion with Him. Paul, what do you want in life? I want to live in communion with my risen Lord. I want a sense of oneness with Him. I want a sense of sameness with Him, that we're going the same direction, that we have the same purpose, and that life is a togetherness. And He loves me, and I love Him. That's what he means by knowing. Not just a mere intellectual assent, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. We say, Paul, how important is it to you to know Him and the power of His resurrection? And he answers it in the text very directly in three ways. He says to us that knowing Christ and the power of His resurrection is of greater value than any earthly heritage. He said, if you have confidence in the flesh, or you think you're somebody because you're a certain race or ethnic background or you have a certain heritage, forget it. If you think you can boast in that, I more so. And he delineates his Jewish heritage. Now, the Jews were proud of their heritage because it was directly stated that they were God's chosen people. They were special people. God chose them to be the vehicle through which Christ would be born. That's something. And so he's saying, look what happened to me. I'm circumcised on the eighth day. I'm the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Forget it. Knowing him, the power of his resurrection, is of greater value than any earthly heritage. And Paul's view of that heritage is says that I count it as rubbish. A heavy word, sometimes translated dung, which means manure. It's that far apart from what he wants. Knowing him and the power of his resurrection is of greater value than any earthly background. Now let's just take a moment to think about the resurrection. We did not read the passages in the Gospels that tell us of the actual literal event, but they are there. Sometime today, read the account in Matthew of exactly what happened, and that he was buried and placed in the grave, and they rolled a stone over the grave, which one person could not move. And so as we think about knowing him this morning and our faith in him, we're talking about a literal historical fact. It's not a myth. It's not a legend. It's not a philosophical theory. It is not a psychological gimmick for possibility thinking. It is real. He rose from the dead. He is not there. And so we need to know that. Our Christian faith rests on reality. The birth, the crucifixion, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can feel great about that and place our faith in him in confidence. Now let's consider one other thing in association with the term, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Power. Omnipotence. God has the attribute of being all-powerful. So you can't think beyond God's power. There's nothing beyond his power. And so he displayed his power in the resurrection. It's a matter of life over death, and we need that. Death is a great problem to us. Death is a great mystery to human beings. And when you gather at a funeral service, there's a great problem. There is separation. That person who has died is gone from us. We are separated from them. There is grief in our hearts. There is usually some pain or sickness, trouble involved with death. We also are caused to think of eternal destiny. Where will that person be? In heaven or in hell? Death is a problem, and there is no human solution. Not one. Except what God tells us here. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, life over death, which occurs for every Christian. Everyone on this earth is born in sin, receives the sin nature of Adam, faces eternal condemnation, faces the punishment of hell unless God changes that. The Bible says we are dead in sin, helpless and hopeless unless God does something. And God does something for those whom he has chosen. He comes and visits them and invades them by the Holy Spirit and raises us from spiritual death to spiritual life. We are resurrected people this morning, and it is the power of God, the power of his resurrection, of converting his elect. So now we're Christians, and now we're saved, and now we have eternal life. Does that make us perfect? No, no Christian claims that. So he continually needs to work on us and with us, bringing about change in our life. And because we're all very stubborn people, because we all have a very strong will, we all want our way, we all demand our rights, God works by his Spirit to bring about humility and to bring about loving others just more than ourselves. So his power, the resurrection, is displayed in life over death, the conversion of the sinner, and the continuing change of the saints. It shows the supremacy of God. Paul, what's important to you? Knowing him and the power of his resurrection is greater value than any earthly heritage. Now he'll make a second point. We say, Paul, what's important? He will say, knowing him and the power of his resurrection is of greater value than all self-righteousness. You say, Bill, where do you get that? In verse 6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. This is a self-righteousness. Paul was saying, I've really been good at keeping the law. You ought to see my list of good works and all how great I am in the flesh. Well, Paul, what do you think about that now? He says, I think it's rubbish. Knowing Christ and the power of his resurrection is of greater value than all self-righteousness. Now, Paul makes an amazing statement here. He says, I was a Pharisee. Now, the Pharisees were a sect of the Jewish people who were probably the most proud and thought they were the most holy of all the people who walked the earth. And if anybody ever needed to be broken in humility, it was the proud Pharisee. And now Paul says, I'm casting all of that aside. I count it all loss for Christ, for the excellence of knowing Him. Knowing Him and the power of His resurrection is of greater value than any self-righteousness. Does that speak to us this morning? It should. Cast it aside. Count it as rubbish. Paul will make a third point, and he will say to us that knowing Christ and the power of His resurrection is of greater value than any earthly achievement. Now, Paul was doing well. He was a leader. He's a Pharisee, and he's respected for that. And he's doing a good job of persecuting the church. He's disrupting the lives of Christian families. He is separating them, moving fathers away from the family, causing them to lose their jobs, causing some of them to die. Zeal? I've got it. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Paul, you've got a great career going. I mean, you're on top. Your Jewish people think you are the greatest. You're the chief spokesman for our cause. Get these Christians. Persecute the church. When God stepped in, when Paul was on the road to Damascus, he's taking letters to arrange to put Christians in prison. And a great light shines, and the voice of Christ speaks to him, jerks him around, turns him the other way, and now he's living for Christ. But Jesus said an interesting thing. He said to Paul, why are you persecuting me? He didn't say, why are you persecuting these people? Why are you persecuting me? To persecute another Christian is the same as persecuting Christ. To work against another believer is working against Christ. We need to be very careful about having a critical spirit that's out of place and undermining reputation of other believers and being careful with each other. Paul will say, knowing Christ and the power of His resurrection is more important and of greater value than my career. It's of greater value and more important than this great zeal I have. Well, Paul, what do you think of your achievements? How does it look to you? Well, to me, it's rubbish. It's trash. I'm cashing it all in that I may serve Him and know Him and the power of His resurrection. I delight in Paul's statements to us and how he views his former life. And now he wants to be seen as found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is through the law, but which is through faith in Christ, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Now then, this morning, what is most important to us? What's really most important to you? Your career? How you think of yourself as being the good person? Your achievements? And Christ is down the line in priority? must not be. How important it is it to us to know him and the power of his resurrection. If it isn't first place, it's misplaced. What is top priority? Who gets the most attention? How do you spend your time? What's your chief pursuit and aim? Knowing him and the power of his resurrection unites us with Paul. And we learn these things by loving the truth of God's word and having truth as the central place in our life and in our church. May God help us to have these goals and purposes in our lives. Father, we thank you again for a text of Scripture packed with truth and packed with the practical reality for our lives that can change our lives this morning and give us new purpose and give us a life that is of greater value than any earthly thing. We pray that you'll so work in our hearts that this day of resurrection will be one we could never forget, because you have changed our lives according to the Scripture. In Jesus' name, amen.